Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and today is actually a very special episode because we have some awesome special guests with us today. They're visiting from Colombia, kind of on their way to Thailand and then Japan. We have some visitors from YWAM. It's Brando and Bianca and Rafa. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone.
I'm excited.
So we're recording on Friday. This is Friday, and they've been here for almost a week. And so to get things started, I just wanted to ask, what are some highlights for you guys of your trip so far?
I think one highlight at the moment is when I was in the airport, I think God confronted me to be open and with expectations of what he will do in the middle of this mission trip, in this occasion with us. I'm excited for that reason.
Yeah, I think that I've been seeing so much of God's love through the church, and being here is special, like connecting more. Even yesterday, Pastor Barry was like, no, it's so cool. Now I get to know more Bianca. The first time you came, you were so serious because, last year we had the opportunity to be on a staff meeting, and that was it, just like for a few hours. So it's cool to get to know people and the community and, be in relationship with people. I think that's very, very cool.
Yeah, for me personally, we are in a season of transition. Mm-hmm. So we had to organize many things back home from our ministry. And it meant a lot of work, a lot of meetings, a lot of some difficult stuff as well. And while we were preparing to visit Catalyst Church, I was talking with Pastor Barry, okay, we are here to serve. We are here to do anything. Mm-hmm. We want to bless the church. But he was very... I focused on, no, I want you to relate with the people here. I really want you to have a closer relationship with them. And I think this week has been really helpful for me on that. You know, like, okay, we have done so much till now, but part of what we do is also to get closer to people. So I think I feel really nice and just to say in that way that the main purpose has been to get closer to you guys here. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and that was one reason that I really wanted you guys to come on the podcast was to give our church an opportunity to get to know you guys better. It's, you know, there's four of you because Nathaniel's here too with them. And we have a few hundred people at our church, so it's kind of difficult for everyone to get a chance to spend time with you, but really using the podcast is an opportunity for them to get to know you, hear a little bit more about your story. They will be sharing a little bit after church on Sunday about their trip and what they're doing with YWAM, but I wanted to give our people an opportunity to get to know you guys. I've got a chance to spend a little bit of time with you guys this week, and it's been really fun, and so I wanted to give other people an opportunity to do that too. So, yeah, like they said, Brando, Bianca, and Nathaniel came last year, got a chance to sit in with a staff meeting. They were here with Sebastian and Sarah, and I'm sure they'll share a little bit later about how all that unfolded, and Rafa's been with us too. When we were at Mark Twain, I still remember one of my son's highlights of the time at Mark Twain was after church when Rafa came, they played soccer in the field, and he was like, that was so fun. We need to do that more often. And I was like, well, they're leaving. So, yeah, it just the joy that they bring, it's been an awesome opportunity for us to spend time together. We got a chance to go to Knott's Berry Farm on Wednesday. That was a lot of fun. And
oh, I really love it.
I was telling Tracy that, you know, you can't not have fun at Knott's if Rafa is with you because he's just having fun, so much fun. So
you love me how I am.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So like I said, I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to get to know each one of you guys a little bit better through the podcast. So I wanted to give you guys a chance to share some of your testimony, just some of your story so we can get a chance to just to get a little bit more insight into who you are and, you know, your heart for the Lord and how he's led you in these years. So Rafa, why don't you get us started?
Wow. Okay. I will start with my testimony in high school. I think it's a key point of my story. So when I was in high school, I think I put a lot of mask to don't show who I am for the people. And I think I create like a, how I can say that? Like I don't show who I am for the people. I create these barriers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was that guy like nice with everyone, you know? Like I treat the people like good every time. I show myself like, oh, I'm comfortable with everyone. I'm so secure. But inside, I was so afraid about life and so afraid about the future. And I remember my last year of high school, all my partners in my school, they have their own plans for the future, going to the university and do this and do that. And I saw this panorama, and I remember that I in that moment I reflect, and I decide to be honest with me, and I discovered that God was only with God. Since that moment, only with God, I really found like home and a place to be me and this place of freedom. So also in that moment, I'll be part of a mission trip with my school because it was a Christian school. And I decided to go in missions. And also in that time, my family was very broken. The relationships inside my house was not good. And some missionary friends, they invite us to their house. They're a really beautiful couple. And they teach us this like blessing ceremony. And they teach us like this amazing like thing that blessing can go into heart if you don't ask for forgiveness first. And that night, we received so much like healing inside the family. And my father asked for forgiveness to all the family because of different things. And I saw so much restoration. And I think that was the confirmation of God to go to missions. So someone shared about this mission, YWAM, and the DTS, and I just think like, okay, sounds good. 6 months could be nice before the university. And I never imagined how God changed everything. And since the first week of the DTS, that is the discipleship training at school. I got like called me to missions in a really strong way, and he started to transform my life, to give me identity, and in that process I think like I threw it out all that mask that I put in my life, and I think God healed so much my life. And yeah, that was 7 years ago from today. Wow. And a lot of things happened. I think 2 years ago, God lead me to come to the United States with a mission trip with the DTS. And since that time, we meet with Catalyst Church. And I'm grateful because we don't know. Yeah, when you go to missions, you don't know where you will come back to the places you visit. So I'm grateful with God because all this friendship that we built with the years.
Oh.
So that's about me a little bit.
good.
So you said a transformation in your parents.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and not only my parents, also my siblings. Mm. I have one sister and one brother. I'm the youngest, and yeah, I saw a big restoration inside my house. And funny thing, 3 years ago or four, I invited my sister to one mission trip to India, and she decided to go. And then she got in that mission, God called my sister also to be missionary. And right now, then she go to the DTS, and she continuing missions. Not right now, she is serving in Chile, and he has a boyfriend in the mission. So God transformed everything, and we don't know the ways how he worked. Yeah.
But it's amazing in your story about just the power of the forgiveness and then the blessing, right? Mm. It's like they said, right? The blessing can't go in unless first you ask for and receive the forgiveness, and then the blessing can go in, and then how that just brought the transformation. That's awesome.
Yeah. And also, I know because of that blessing, I flourish. Mm. Yeah, because I didn't, God don't allow me to go out to my house without that blessing of my father and my mother. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the blessing that you received during that time has allowed you now to step out as a missionary with their blessing.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. And I saw how God go with me in every mission trip, in every school in YWAM. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Okay, Bianca, you're up. Yes. How about for you? I want to hear more from you too. Kind of like Pastor Barry said, this trip has been awesome just to get a chance to get to know you a little bit more, because, you know, like you said, last time you're a little bit serious, and then talking to Rafa, talking to Brano, they're like, yeah, Bianca, she's fun. She's fun. So we want to see that side of you too.
Yes. Yeah. Last time, maybe I was a little bit shy and yeah, just getting to know you guys only for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. So it's been nice to be more time here, to spend more time in fellowship, in friendship. I'm really grateful for that. And yeah, so a little bit about my story. When I was around eight, I remember I was in second grade, and I really felt rejected in many ways. And I was really suffering in myself, inside myself, in my emotions as a girl growing up. My family is short, as you can see. Colombians usually are short. We're not as tall as
that's
others.
Okay, you fit right in. We're primarily Asian church. fit right in. Asians are not known to be tall either.
Yes. But then I was bullied at school because of that, my size, my height. I also had to wear braces for a long time of my life because my teeth had a problem, a big problem. But thank you, God, that it got fixed. But still, during this era of time, I was, you know, the typical girl who was laughed at and bullied and rejected. So I had no friends. I remember coming back from school and crying, Mom, please, I don't want to go anymore to school. I don't have friends. I felt really lonely. And my mom crying with me, along with me. And, homeschool was not even an option. Homeschool was not something known in Colombia, actually. But still, I am grateful, through all the process I went through, and that my mom was there for me and my dad was there for me. And, I have two sisters. I'm the oldest. And in the midst of all of this, there was a nice girl at school who she was very nice to me. And I was but why this girl is so nice? What does she have that I don't have? And then I got to know that she was a Christian. And I came back home saying, like, Mom, I already know what I want to do when I grow up. I want to be an evangelical Christian. I didn't know what that meant, like what that mean. But I was saying, okay, if being a Christian, or like as I called it, evangelical Christian, means to have good grades, to have friends, to like, that's how I saw it at the moment, like in my small mind, a 2 second grader mind. And I think everything in my relationship with God started with, like, I want to have a friend. So when I found Jesus first, I found a friend. And that was like something healing to me. And then my family also came to church, and then the five of us, we started like walking in the Lord as a family, and individually everyone had like their own path, of course. But I remember the two Bible verses I like knew by heart at the beginning of that time walking with Jesus. All things I can do in Christ, like he gives me strength. I am translating my mind because I know them in Spanish. And the other was like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm-hmm. And then this was really powerful for me. You know, a song.
Yeah.
And then, I remember really like the next times I received that, like those eyes staring at me and the laughter and all the situation where you feel like I wanted to be invisible. Mm-hmm. Like my mask was, I want to be invisible. I want to disappear. When I want Jesus to come now, and I want the rapture, and I want to disappear from this world. I don't want to be part of anything here. Like these people are so mean, evil. And And then, next time I was being bullied at, I remember the verse. It was instantaneously like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, like I shall not lack anything. And then it was like, I think the first time I remember like applying the Bible at the moment. And then like, okay, I know the verse, I know the psalm, but then how does it apply to me? Okay, then I started filling in the blank. Like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack of friends. Mm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack of affirmation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack of identity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And then I started filling in the blanks, and I remember me with my uniform, like crying, but because I was receiving that from the Holy Spirit while...
Wow.
That was happening in class, and I really like got strength from the Lord at that moment, and I like raised my head, and I lift my head, and I said, okay, God, I want to receive this truth. And of course it didn't stop, like in general growing up, but I was like, I found in Jesus like my refuge, my safe refuge. But I didn't understand at that moment that the Lord didn't call me to be, like, he's my safe place, but that I am also called to be a light. I wanted to be, like, so, like, hidden in God that I wanted to be also hidden from the world. But that was not the total truth. Like, I just took it, but I didn't understand the second part. That God wanted me to be a light to the nations, that God didn't want me to reject others, that God didn't want me to hate people because they hated me or things like that. So I just wanted to be on my own and to create my tower of protection. I thought it was 100% God protecting me, but then I learned it was also myself protecting myself. Like God, but there were other things where I was challenged by God, like to speak out and things like that. But I was still very afraid, very shy, full of many fears, lack of identity. So despite being a Christian, I thought, oh, yeah, I am now 100% fully there at that point. Like, I am there. But no, I had to still, like, I had a big path to keep walking. And so I went to college. I studied international business. And, yeah, I always wanted to, like, to serve the Lord. That was my passion. At church, every Sunday, I was in the, we have a worship and dance ministry. So I was there dancing during worship. I was there with the youth and everything. So I was, like, very basic. Like, my three spots were, like, church, college, or school, and my house. Mm. And that was it, and I was happy. And every day, every Monday, I wanted to be the weekend just to go to church. So I was happy that way, and I had my friends from church. But outside church, it was difficult for me, like, to relate with others. So, I started feeling, like, that calling, like, I want to serve God full time. But my dad said, no, you need to go to college and serve God on Sundays. So I was very obedient, and I felt, yeah, that was good from the Lord, that I learned a lot also in college. But after college, I still had that in my heart. Okay, I also was passing through a difficult emotional process. So I was, okay, God, I want to serve you. I want to go, but just tell me. And I remembered the word YWAM. I knew about YWAM when I was like 12 because my church received a team. And that was it. I never got to know more teams, nothing. Like, just one team when I was 12. So I Googled if YWAM still existed in Cartagena, a city in Colombia. And it did. I emailed them, they replied, and then I applied to the DTS, to the Discipleship Training School. And during that training, I was really like, yeah, I think I was born for this. I think I was called to be a missionary, I think. Like, and then I started like thinking of different things. Like, okay, when I was a little girl, I dreamt about dancing in the nations, about traveling, but I didn't know God could call me because I felt like inferior all the time. So I had to surrender all these things of pride, of inferiority, of all my masks, as Rafa said. Like, I had to surrender these, and I had to just take a step in faith and say, okay, God, I want you to protect me, and I want to live my life fully as you want me to. Like, I don't want to have regrets of being there, like, just hiding, or like the person in the Bible that like hid the talents. You call them like that in English too? Okay. Because I was like that person, like, okay, God gave me this, I want to hide it, and then Jesus come back and everything will be fine. But no. It was a healing process for me, DTS. So DTS is a really cool program, and I was a Christian, but still I needed so many things, in deep things that God wanted to heal. And I was searching in the Bible the verse that God spoke to me when that it was the confirmation for me, like, to stay in missions. Wow. And it's in Isaiah 49:6. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And yeah, I think this summarizes how I said yes to God that I felt God saying, yeah, it is too small a thing that you are just my servant, like staying there at the place you thought you were going to be, or going back to work, because since I was already like graduated and everything. But God saying, yeah, you can do that, but remember that it is too small because I have something else for you. So I said, yes, I want to go for that you have for me, God.
So you shared that you had this inferiority complex that
yes.
you surrendered to the Lord. You know, I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to, is that perception of like, oh, I'm just this little person. How can God use me?
Yes.
You know, I'm not good enough or whatever. And, you know, especially in Asian cultures, shame is a big thing, right? So carrying around that. So for you, what did that look like to be able to surrender that to the Lord? To be, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's just how I am. Or, you know, how do you release that to the Lord and then fully receive what he has for you? What did yes. that look like for you?
Yes, I think during the discipleship training program, like we have inner healing weeks, we have different weeks like Father Heart of God, and we also have spiritual deliverance. Like for me, was just like also like confessing specific things, and just starting to hear the voice of God and being obedient to that. So I remember that during my DTS outreach, we learned a skit that was like, you need to yell. You need to go to a park or an open place and start yelling. You yell like, who am I? I don't know who am I? And you start yelling. You look like a crazy person.
Wow.
And we rehearsed this many times for our outreach. And then my outreach leader said, Bianca, you're going to be the girl who yells at this college in Peru. We were in Peru.
Whoa, no.
And then my heart started beating. But then I said, God, I am nervous. Like, still, mm-hmm. it's part of my personality. I'm not that maybe extrovert at the first meeting with people and all of this. But I was more focused, like, what did God say? Okay, and I want to do it. Sorry?
How funny is God?
Yes. And then I remember I closed my eyes, and we were like at this big area of this college in Peru. And I started like yelling in Spanish, who am I? Can you tell me who am I? And then like all the other characters come and like, oh, you are, it's about identity. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, you are a mess. You're so ugly. I don't want, like all the characters from the drama come. And it was so beautiful to see then like this, okay, this is Jesus in me. So I think it's very important. Like if I surrender, I know I am going to die to myself and let Jesus win. Mm. And this means to be able to hear his voice and obey. And if I don't obey, then I am not surrendering. And something that I've learned also from our spiritual parents back in Colombia, our YWAM leaders there, they teach also about this topic. And I remember she says, his wife, Diana says, you know, if you're going to die to yourself, then die. Because have you ever seen a dead person complaining, or have you ever seen a dead person Ooh, talking?
Wow.
So I remember, yes, if I am dying, then it's dying. Otherwise, then you didn't die.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's like a mic drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a quote from Diana Busser.
Yeah, and I think, like, I'm married with Bianca, and I know his dad, I heard that, and they are quite similar with all this topic about shame and being, like, yeah, for him, it has been a whole process how to open up to other people, and also especially to his daughters. So I think her life, Bianca's life, was also a good example for her dad.
Mm.
And they have had really good conversations on that matter and what Rafa was saying about blessing.
Mm-hmm.
He was not even able to say, hey, I love you, mm, or I bless you. And in certain way, that's also part of the Asian culture, right?
Like, yes, mm, I mean, very much so.
I've heard a lot of Chinese friends saying, no, my dad never said I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you have food in the kitchen. Yes. So maybe, Bianca, that's you can dad. Tell a little bit how was that experience after you got healed and how you were encouragement for your dad?
Yes. So at home, I always watched like these family sitcoms, like these, mm-hmm, like, yeah, I remember one like Growing Pains. I really liked that one.
They had that here too. Growing Pains was here too.
Yes. This I watched it, but I knew it was from America. Yes. And and I was always like, at the end of every episode, there's the typical scene where the girl or the boy is at bed and the dad comes and like he comforts the child. And then there's like this small meditation or reflection about the day, like, oh yeah, daddy, thank you. And they hug. And I was all the time craving that, like, why my dad is not like that? Like, I want my dad to give me advice, to be deep with me, to know me. I was all the time like, dad, do you at least know my favorite color? Like, do you know my favorite food? Like, I was like, we were like that, like along with my sisters, like we were asking and like begging for his love, but like to show his love. We know he loves us. He provided everything. He's a responsible dad. He prays for us. He celebrates us. He even took us to Disney World when we were like 9. So he did a lot for us. He's a very good father, but we wanted to hear that. And sometimes we think words are just not as important as acts, but I think like everything is important. Like it's important for us to listen to the I love you of our parents, of the important people around us. And also to see them express in different ways, like gifts, but also affirmation, just being there, quality time, and all of those things. And so when after this healing process during my DTS, after my DTS, sorry. I remember being with one of my mentors, and I was telling her, like, her name is Sasha. So I was telling like, Sasha, like, I really feel like I need to hear the words I love you from my dad. Like, I forgave him. I would have wanted him to be more there for me. Like when I was crying after school, only my mom was there comforting me. Like he was all the time working. But still, I am already a grown up. I was 22, 23. But I want to hear him, like just those words. And she prayed and she said, why don't you ask him? I was like, okay. So I prayed about it. And then just very relaxed, like chill at a call that he called me. Oh, how are you doing? Yeah. And then I said to him, like, daddy, you know, I wanted to ask you something. For me, it's important that you tell me that you love me. I know you love me. You have done this and that. I started like listing very different characteristics of him. I started affirming him. And then I said, but I feel that my heart and my ears need to listen to the words, I love you. And then he cleared his throat like that on the phone. And he was like, yes, of course, I love you. And I was like, wow. And then from that moment, he started like on the phone, like saying, I love you, or like saying like, sweetie, honey in Spanish, mi amor, things like this. And that was really special for me. So yeah, I think sometimes I need to be like Jacob in the Bible when the angel came and he says, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Mm-hmm. So my dad hasn't received all the things I have received. Like, he didn't go to a DTS, he didn't go to YWAM. His family history is a very difficult one, But so since I have more light, I can also be the one saying, please, Daddy, bless me. Please, Daddy, do this for me. And that is important too. So, yeah, that has helped us in our relationship, father-daughter.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, we have one more person that we haven't heard very much from yet. So, Brando, would you like to share some of your testimony? And I think you're going to share a little bit more too on Sunday, right? So
yes, I was thinking a little bit about that. So I think I'm going to share a little bit some other stuff about my life.
Okay, yeah.
Then, but yeah, just listening to Rafa and Bianca, my wife. Personally, I think it has to do my own testimony has to do as well with my relationship with my parents. That's I think clear and many for many of. Of the people listening to us, it has to do with that as well. And in my case, I'm half Japanese, half Colombian, but I grew up with a Colombian dad. My Japanese dad, he died before I was born. So I grew up in Colombia. My whole, maybe till I was 10, I thought I was fully Colombian, even though my dad was a little bit dark skinned. So I never thought about him not being my dad, but I mean, that's how kids are. So, but throughout the years, many things happened. And when I was around 10, 12 years, I mean, nine more or less, my parents got divorced. And after that, it was really painful time. And the thing is, when I grew up, I had a lot of problems with my Colombian dad. He was in the military, in the army. And because of that, he was very aggressive at home. And in Colombia, we have a really difficult situation with guerrillas and things like that. And he was part of the army that went to these fields to fight them. And in many ways, it was really hard for him when he came back home to transitioning from the like the field, from the war with them, and transitioning into back in the family. So I grew up with a lot of violence. I grew up with a lot of, problems. My parents yelling to each other and really strict rules at home as well. So in certain way, I grew up with hatred to authorities, especially to my parents and my dad. When my parents got divorced, I was glad. It was like, okay, finally, I'm going to live without all these kind of things. But the damage was already done. My heart was damaged at that time. And when I was around 11, I started to behave really badly. I was just 11. I started to smoke. I started to drink and just being on the streets with friends. And my mom didn't know what to do with me. She was alone. My brother was living as well with us. I have a brother who is 4 years older than me. We were the three of us. That was my family for a long time. And my mom didn't know what to do with me. And one time we had an argument, a really strong discussion argument. And she just said, do you have any, do you doubt that your dad is your dad? And for me, it was like, why do you ask all of this if we are just fighting over my behavior? So that's when she told me a little bit about my dad is Japanese, that he was not this Colombian man. And many things started to happen in my heart while I was a teenager with all of this. And everything revolved about the figure of a dad. So for me, many questions came to my mind, like, okay, if my Colombian dad is not my biological dad, why did I have to suffer all the things that I suffered? You know, like maybe, you know, your dad is your dad, then you can try to handle at best any behavior. But when you start to think like that, it's like, okay, why did I suffer all of this? And at the same time, it was, you know, like things. The thing is, I was sharing the other day as well during the other meeting that here in the States, you can find a lot of foreigners who came and migrated and they start family. And then you have a lot of different cultures, ethnicities in the country. But in Colombia, we don't have that much. So I grew up not having someone who was a little bit like me in the sense of my face or certain features, things like that. And it was hard for me. I didn't have any photo of my dad. So it was like looking at the mirror and saying who I am. who's like me, mm-hmm. who can I compare myself to after knowing that my Colombian dad was not my biological dad. So I grew up with all these questions, identity crisis, just to say in that way, knowing that my biological dad was not my dad, all the problems with him, the violence at home, my rebellion against authorities because of the hatred that I felt towards them. And then when I was around 15, everything reached like a certain point that I wasn't handleable for my mom. I just developed violence against any authority, either teachers, either policemen. I mean, I was fascinated by communism at that time. Mm. It was like, yeah, I like this philosophy. We have to go against the structure and the system and all this kind of stuff. But I think it was just a reflection of my own wounds, my own things throughout my teenager years. And I knew about God. At a certain point of our family, we met Christ, especially my mom. My brother and myself, we started to attend a church. At the beginning, it was just because of we had to. But at a certain point, it was something that I believed in. But because of all these problems in my own heart and on all these kind of things, the gospel didn't get all the roots needed in my heart. And yeah, I think at the end, I was not an atheist, but I did believe in God, but I hated God. You know, like I had this kind of mindset, like everything that happened in my life, it was because God is guilty of all of that. Mm. I hate him and I don't want to be with him. I think he's a bad boy or something like that. So that was my understanding about God. I had this thought that God was this old man with a long beard, sit on the throne, and that he didn't care about me and things like that. And when I was 15, my mom tried many times to preach the gospel to me, pray for me, do a lot of stuff as well. And I always rejected any kind of invitation from a church or evangelism or whatever. And when I was 15, I was finishing high school at the time. I was a little bit earlier in school. But I felt something was missing in my life. And I was presented to a youth camp led by YWAM at that time. And I just said to God, okay, I think I'm going to give you a last opportunity. And if you don't do anything, okay, I'm going to continue with my life. So that was a dangerous prayer. I think it's really, when you do this kind of things to God, he's going to take advantage and he's really going to take your opportunity. The other day I was following a guy on Instagram. He said he's having a challenge to pretend to be Christian for 30 days. He could only pretend he was Christian for 20 days, and now he accepted Christ. So now it is a challenge on Instagram here in the States. I think a little bit of that happened to me, like saying, okay, if you really exist, if you really want to do something in my life, okay, there's this youth camp, do something there. And from the very beginning, it was really good. I learned a lot. But then on the second week of the youth camp, that it was for 2 weeks, I got for the very first time lectures on the Father Heart of God. And I have never heard something like that God wanted to be my father. And taking into account all this identity crisis, all what happened with my Colombian dad, that I didn't meet my Japanese dad, I think it was the right moment to hear all of that. And God was saying to me, I want to be your father. I want to be with you. I'm not the one responsible for all the things that you lived, because at the end, humans we have free will. Mm-hmm. And sadly, because of our free will, we wound other people. But I'm here for you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to heal you. And that's what really brought me closer to God. I think it was seeing his kindness in my own. And it was first time that I felt such a love in me. The speaker of that night, he prayed for me. He was ministering to me. And that night I accepted Christ as my savior. It was because of God's love as a father. Then at the end of that week, we had a lecture on missions. And then the base director of YWAM Cartagena, that is currently our leader as well, he is from Switzerland. His name is Marcus. And he was sharing on missions. And then to start the lectures, he asked, okay, what are your plans? What are your dreams? And at that time, I didn't have much, like many plans. And it was like, I need to say something good, something nice. I don't know. everybody's going to say something nice, but I don't have anything. And a thought came to my mind, like, hey, why don't you go to do missions in Japan? So he was like, okay, sounds good. I like that. So I raised my hand. I said, yeah, I don't know. I would like to do missions in Japan. And he was like, wow, that's good. And actually, we are praying to go to Japan for the very first time. And our mission base, it has a focus for Japan as well. And now we have a Brazilian Japanese at our DTS. So maybe this is part of the confirmation. I share a little bit about my story with him, that I was half Colombian, half Japanese. And then he invited me to take the DTS. I did it a couple of months later. And in the DTS, God healed more things in my heart. He confirmed the calling to missions. And God kept talking about Japan. And throughout the years, it has been something that it has been confirmed through different people or leaders, different situations. And yeah, that's a whole story I can share on Sunday. But that's why we are on this scouting trip or exploratory trip to Japan. It all started with one thought in my mind when I was 16. But yeah, that's my personal story, how I met Jesus through all this pain and situations with my dad.
Yeah, but for me, I think it's really interesting, you know, that the Lord chose you to go to Japan because you are half Japanese and half Colombian. We were talking about this before we started recording, but one of the things that stands out to me, and you guys had shared this a little bit on Tuesday at our staff meeting, is that, you know, what does a Colombian person bring, right? And you guys said the joy, right? And and really, to me, that's what they need in Japan is the joy, right? And so to have someone who has the joy of a Colombian but is Japanese as well, it's like you're able to bridge that that gap. And so, yeah, I just really feel like it's definitely God's call on your life and your family, and it's really cool to see. And there's so much more to this story that there hasn't been a lot of time for, but yeah, your guys' story is just amazing.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
I'm impressed because of the redemption that God can give for someone. And this week I met some Chinese woman, and she go out from China and she arrived Colombia, and she grew up in Colombia. And it was a sad story because they moved to Colombia because of the war. And they're in Colombia, the family and her, they don't pass like a great time. She was bullied, and it was difficult. But then she arrived but in Colombia she know about God. She became Christian, and a lot of things happened in her life. And then she arrived here, LA, and for me was like, wow. I was shocked when I listened her story, because I saw the redemption of God, she's able to share the gospel in a different ways, also with Latino people, but also with Chinese people. And also she's like so American now. So I realized how God can redeem one story, even when it's not easy, the beginning or, and I remind the story of Ruth, and how God redeemed Noemi, and yeah, that's only a thought that came to me when I was listening to the story of Brando and also the story of this woman. Yeah, we don't know what God can do with our lives and with our difficult stories.
Actually, like while Rafa was talking about this, I remembered that when I was a teenager, I was asking myself, like, why I didn't grow up in Japan or why I didn't grow up with my dad or things like that. But I remember, I don't remember exactly when, but one time praying, I felt this, had this impression that if I were born in Japan, probably I wouldn't know God. You know, all this, how it's not a Christian country, less than 1% Christians there. So in some way, something that was really difficult and painful, because that's the background, the story behind all this about Japan in my family. And I thought there was redemption, you know, like I met Jesus and now I can be a blessing. But also think about you in Catholic Church, you know, like every person might have a different story, you know, like how they migrated or something. Some of them were born in Japan, but they had to live here in the States. But at the same time, I see how God wanted to redeem every story. And now as a church, you're being a light and a blessing to Japan as well. So I was thinking a little bit about that.
I was also thinking, like, as Rafa said, like the redemption that we all receive from Jesus. I was thinking, okay, like every Christian, every follower of Christ also has a story. Each of us has a story to tell, but also how can we think, how can I receive more of God in my story? What are the areas he wants to keep working on? Like, we are not done. Like, he's not done with us. We are an artwork in his hands, but that he wants to transform us and that he wants to use us even as broken vessels, but to let his light shine. And it's so beautiful to know that the more we know God, he and his love, how can he use that to show his love, but also to bring that love to others. And thinking about Japan, I've never been yet, so I'm very excited about going on this scouting trip. But I've always thought, like, I think there's so much need in the world, and especially in Japan, hearing, like, just but the stereotypes and, like, what you read or you can watch in a drama or whatever, like, these things happening and the social problems happening with different, like, urban groups, like, around, like, the hikikomoris and things like these, and how God can use different testimonies for his glory, and how can God use in any way our lives, like, just to bring healing to others in these areas, like God as a father, or as Rafa said, the masks, and as I share, like, Jesus as a friend, like, all the character of God brings also healing to our wounds. And I that's my heart also, that God may use us at least, if it's only one person in this trip, I will just be happy. But yeah, I know that God wants to transform, and that as a church in general, we need to keep growing and keep being open to that discipleship, to that transformation, to that dying to my own self.
Yeah, I do think something that you said earlier, Bianca, that's very practical, that our people can do too, is taking the Psalm 23, right?
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack, and then putting something specific that they're feeling. I feel like that's something that really stood out when you were sharing. It's like, that's very practical, and that's something that's easy to do, right? Like, it says, I shall not, or I don't lack anything, right?
Yes.
So what is included in anything? Mm-hmm. All of these things, right?
Yes.
And so for you, when you said, like, I don't lack a friend, I don't lack provision,
yes,
I don't lack, right? And so it's a very practical thing that we can do to remind ourselves and to step into our real identity of, you know, being under the Lord's care. We can do that and apply scripture very, very tangibly.
Yes, it's true. And I mean, I was 9, so I know that that was the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's true, to just bring the scripture to life. Like, that's important part of discipleship and of knowing that this book is not just a book, but is the word of God, and that is alive, and that comes to the depths of our heart and transform us. Yeah, if we apply it. Yeah, it's true. it's a good exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. Yes.
All right. Well, we're running up a little bit close to an hour, which I shared with you guys a little bit earlier that that's generally how things have been going. So before we get up on time, I wanted to give you guys a chance to, are there any last things that you want to share before we sign off? Like, I don't want to end this podcast without saying this. Is there anything on your heart or on your mind that you would like to share that, yeah, that you would feel like, oh, I missed out if I didn't say this?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I feel like to share another part of my testimony related with finances.
Mm.
And I think I remember my second year of in YWAM, God confronted my faith. Because until that point, my father paid everything. But God confronted my faith, and he told me, like, okay, now you didn't have to...
Like, you don't need to ask your dad anymore? Or
also.
Okay.
But don't say how much you need, or don't say to him how much you don't have also. Or if you have, yeah. Because something important, because God wanted to show his father heart for me. Mm. And it was really, really, how I can say that. At the beginning, I was like not comfortable with that because I think that I was not ready. But it was crazy because someone that is not part of YWAM and is not part of the base, in the middle of one outreach, come to me. That happened in my outreach time inside of Colombia. And she told me, a girl from like a pastor, co-pastor of one church, he go to me and he said, like, God putting this on my heart, like, the pocket of your father is not big as the pocket of God. Mm-hmm. Talking about money or the wallet could be, have sense with wallet. Like the wallet of your father is not that big as the wallet of God. And he have like plans for your life. You can cover your father of the earth can't cover, but God can cover. God will cover.
Mm.
And since that moment, I called my father and I spoke with him about all the things that happened and all the things that God shared to me. And I remember that he accepted and they prayed over my life. And since that moment, I saw how God provide for all my things. And I don't know why I'm sharing this, but could be someone in the outside, like in the middle of the fighting, something inside, because sometimes it's difficult for a young people going out of house or be boldness and jumping faith to make something with God alone. But if it's something that God is like putting on your heart, like trusting him because he's like taking care of your life. And that same year, I remember that I made my first international trip to here first, to United States, and then to Brazil. And there in Brazil, God spoke to my life about Japan. That same year, the same year that I take that jump in faith with God in finances, my vision start to grow and grow and grow. And that was part of the promise of God in that day. Yeah.
What year was that?
2021 or 2021.
Wow.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen. I was just feeling that it would be nice just to end, like, really, like, praying.
Mm.
And I don't know, anyhow, God wants to speak specifically to someone listening to this podcast or anything has made sense. you know, or anything has been like highlighting. So I was just thinking if at the end we can pray. Yeah.
Okay. How about for you?
In my case, I have been having this impression about what Rafa was saying about blessing our parents and all these kind of things. Yeah, I think for any person who is listening to this, it makes sense, the importance to try to receive this blessing from your parents and or have a really good conversation as well. I understand in many cases it could be that it's hard for them to do it or they don't know how to do it. But sometimes everything can start with you blessing your parents. You know, like you can affirm them, you can pray for them, you can just give words of affirmation, you can tell them, you know, I love you. I don't know. I just had the impression that, as Malachi says, God wants to bring the heart of the parents or the fathers back to their children and so on. So I had this impression, and if it makes sense for you, ask God for wisdom how to do it. And also, if you are now in a generation where you are a father or a mother, how you can be like that, affirming, praying for your kids and loving them. And I think the parents are the first door for the gospel to get into the kids. So just that's part of all of that. That's my only impression.
Yeah, that's very aligned with, you know, our church's vision for our families is that, you know, the parents are the main spiritual leaders of our kids. And that's, whether we like that or not, whether we step into that or not, that's just how it is, right? So if we are leading our kids to the Lord or not, we're influencing them spiritually, right? And so whether we step into it or not, we're showing them something, right? And so, yeah, we want to be a church full of parents and families that are pointing our kids to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Since Bianca wanted us to pray, would you be willing to pray?
Yes, okay. So yeah, Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for creating us, Lord. Thank you because you don't make mistakes. You are wonderful. You are good, Lord. You are perfect. And even though our lives may have different stories full of wounds, difficult parts of our story pages, Lord. But as Rafa was saying, Lord, you are our Redeemer. And we want to thank you for this, Lord, for redeeming our lives. Please help us to walk in this redemption. Help us, Lord, to know that we are beloved and that you want to change our lives, not for us to be comfortable in our own little castle of Christians, but that you want us also to go out and to spread your love. You want us to be light to the nations, Lord. And please, Lord, we ask for your presence, Holy Spirit, to touch the different hearts of people listening to this podcast, Lord. And thank you so much because you are everything to us, Lord. And however we should fill in the blank, that Psalm 23 verse 1, Lord. Just, Lord, we want to surrender to you, Lord, that you are our Lord, our Savior, that nothing is more important than you, and that if we have you, we have everything, Lord, and that we shall not want, we shall not lack anything else, Lord. We should not desire anything else that Lord, that besides you, outside of you, there's nothing good for us, Lord, that you are the vine and that we are the branches and we cannot be separated from you because we'll die, Lord, without you. We need you, God. Thank you so much because you give us the opportunity to walk with you, to know you. And we pray, Lord, that we can like take a step in faith, Lord, and knowing that we can listen to your voice, that we can obey you, Lord, and that we can surrender totally to you. We want to surrender to you. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. That's another mic drop. It's like Bianca's just dropping the mic all this whole time.
Wow. Let's go.
All right, well, thanks again for coming on the podcast. It's been really fun for me just to spend this time with you guys and to be able to get to know you a little bit better this whole week and then as well right now. Just so many different things that you guys said, I just feel like really resonate in my heart. And talking about redemption, blessing our kids, blessing our parents, like, you know, the Lord bringing the family back together, the Lord not making mistakes with us, even, you know, like Brando, you mentioned earlier about why you didn't grow up in Japan, right? It's like, but now you're going to go back and you're going to bring the Lord to Japan, right? And so just the plan that he had in this whole story. And yeah, just there's just so many things that I just really felt so blessed that you guys came on today. So thank you again. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
so
for
much.
Inviting
thank
us.
You. Yes.
All right. Well, thanks to all of our listeners out there. Hopefully this episode really encouraged you as well. And if you see them on Sunday, come say hi and stick around. They're going to be sharing a little bit more about why they're going to Japan after service on Sunday. So check that out. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.